Well, good morning, church. This is the moment you guys have been waiting for. It's about a month ago that I opened up a class for people who are interested in being baptized, and we had an unexpected turnout. So we have 10 souls getting baptized today, and then in 2 weeks, we're going to have another 10 souls. Now, some of you heard me announce that we were going to have 21 baptisms last Sunday night. Well, in the words of R.C. Sproul, there's three kinds of people in this world: those who can count and those who can't. Excel messes with your mind sometimes. And so, you know, as we're kind of setting up, Alvin and I are going to take some turns doing the dunking, so we're going to tag team it. But if you look on the bulletin, we're going to go in the order that you see here. Now, as we're getting setting up, and as we are kind of talking about what's going to go on, using our brand new baptismal, by the way, not sure if you've noticed this, I wanted to talk about why this is a big deal. Baptism is a big deal. We brought this down here because we wanted everyone to be a part of this big deal. Now, before I answer that question, I want to make it clear why it's not a big deal. Nobody's getting saved today who's getting baptized. There's nothing magical in this water where the sins are magically plunged away. And why do I say that? Well, the clearest reason why is because that is kind of that's adding a work to salvation when you do that. You know, everyone here has a credible testimony. They have professed faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. And part of the process that we went through with them was to make sure that is a reality that they could express to us and will express to you. We also know from the scriptures, according to 1 Peter 3:21, Peter says, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. And you think, wait a second, Pastor Dave. Didn't they just say that baptism saves you? Well, Peter clarifies that with the next phrase: not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That faith is what saves you. Baptism is just a picture of that. And I think sometimes we kind of fight so hard to preserve the meaning of salvation that is by grace. It has nothing to do with baptism, that we can kind of unwittingly like diminish the importance of baptism, right? We want to make sure that wall is set and it's separate. But I want to give you three reasons why baptism is a big deal. The first one is baptism is a step of obedience. I say this because, one, Jesus was baptized, and then Jesus commands his disciples to baptize. Matthew 28:18-20, and Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations," and here's a key point, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Second reason why it's a big deal: baptism is a declaration of solidarity with Jesus Christ. Now, Paul uses the imagery of baptism to make a larger point about our union with Christ in Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through 4. "Do you not know that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus? Were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, and in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life." And so there is kind of a metaphor here, right? We're going to plunge them into the water where they will unite with the death of Christ symbolically, and then they will be raised to new life. Baptism by immersion kind of pictures the resurrection life of all these young new believers. Thirdly, baptism declares solidarity with Christ's people. When you're baptized, you basically take off Team World or Team Adam, and you put on the uniform of Team Jesus. It's interesting that when we had the first mass revival and conversions after Pentecost, when Peter preached this sermon, this was a result, Acts 2:42. "So those who received the word," notice they had faith first, "were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." And so they were all came to faith, and then one by one they were baptized. We also see in 1 Corinthians 12:13, "For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we're all made to drink of one spirit." It's one of the ordinances of the Christian life, where every Christian is to be baptized. We all have the same experience. We all might share some nostalgia with all this, right? You might remember the time when you were baptized. Now, I think what's really encouraging about this group of young people who are getting baptized is they are basically telling the world that I'm on Team Jesus from here on out. They're planting their flag. They are saying, I am going to walk the pilgrim path, like we're going to learn about in the VBS. How's that for cross-promotion, huh? So, and many of them, they know what they're up against, right? They know that this world, the forces of darkness, even their own flesh and desire is going to try to prevent them from going forward. They know that they'll live in a culture that will increasingly not understand them, that may cancel them, that might marginalize them. And yet, knowing all that, they have decided that they're going to plant their flag on Mount Calvary, that they're going to go forward. See, Rick, when you started breaking down, it got contagious, man. But isn't it? It's a beautiful thing that we're about to see. So, to break in our new baptismal, we're going to start with my son, Nathan Hintz.
Well, there are advantages and disadvantages to being a pastor's kid. An advantage would be the month of October, Pastor Appreciation Month, my favorite month of the year.
Yep.
Delicious food for free. A disadvantage would be you have to go first with the testimonies. So I believe the reason Dad gave me specifically was, son, I'm not very experienced with this new baptismal. So if I drop the first person, at least it'll be you. I was like, I love you too, Dad. So, yeah, anyway. My name is Nathan Hintz, and this is my testimony of faith. I was privileged with being born and raised in a Christian home with Christian values. I never knew a time where attending church, reading the Bible, and praying consistently were not top familial priorities. I participated in VBS, finished all Awana books, and went to every church camp, constantly being fed with biblical knowledge. Though I believed in heaven and hell, that I was a sinner, and that Christ died on the cross for my sins and rose again, it held no meaning for me, and I in no way lived like it. I had no fear of the Lord, only fear of my sin's consequences. When caught in sin, instead of thinking, what have I done, who have I wronged, and what must I do to make it right, I would think, how can I minimize my sin, how can I escape punishment, and how can I get away with it next time? I was obsessed with what others thought of me. I wanted to be seen as a good kid. I wanted to be popular. I wanted to dominate competitions. As a result, I would put on a facade of goodness each time I was in public. At home, however, I was deceptive and lazy with a total lack of integrity and self-control. I was hyper-competitive, and though I wasn't verbally arrogant, I made up for it in self-righteous thoughts. I knew I needed to repent, believe, and be saved, but was never fully interested in committing to it. I even prayed the prayer of salvation multiple times, after each instance, embarking on a streak of good works. However, after a few weeks or a month, I would always lapse back into my self-serving ways. Through the COVID pandemic and the extended bouts of quarantine that resulted from it, I gained new perspective on my life. I saw that I had been blessed by the Lord, tremendously and in countless ways, like awesome parents. However, many of those blessings, such as social status and athletic accomplishments, were transitory and could be taken away as readily as they were given. None of them mattered in eternity, and none of them could save my soul. Those things that I had prioritized all my life were suddenly gone, and I discovered just how meaningless they truly were. After living in a cycle of sin for many years, I finally came to realize that there was truly nothing that I alone could do to escape from it. I found that I was weak and powerless to fight any temptation on my own. I was dead in my trespasses, with no way to obtain salvation in and of myself. At this point, I turned to Christ for help. I began to rediscover truths that had been taught to me hundreds of times without sinking in. That the Son of God descended to earth, took on human form, and lived a perfect life. He died, was buried, and rose again, defeating the power of death and atoning for all who trust in him. I found new joy in hearing God's word preached, reading the Bible, and praying. By the grace of God, my conscience that I had so often seared and ignored was revived. Instead of tolerating and nourishing my sin, I began to feel a deeper responsibility for it and a greater will to take action against it. I was no longer a slave to it, and Romans 6:17 through 18 became true of me. It says, "But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness." Perhaps most surprising of all, I began to develop greater love and compassion for others, something that I had never previously seen in myself. Although I cannot point to a day, week, or even month in which I was changed, I know that my flag is now planted with Christ. I am by no means perfect. I still struggle with many of the same sins of my past. Yet it is not because of my good or bad works that I have salvation, but through the saving work of Jesus that I am free. Thank you.
Well, Nathan, you're quite the comedian. Have a seat. You know, your mom and I weren't sure if this day would ever happen. When Julia did a little sibling secret thing, one of the questions was, who was the worst kid in the family? And you won the award without even thinking about it. Well, I can go on about some of the tales, but I think for us, it's been a real encouragement to see how the Lord used this pandemic of all things and much of the suffering that our family went through to bring you to this point. And it's just a reminder of how the Lord uses this for good. So we're proud of you. We love you. And I say this because I don't know what's going to happen when I dunk you. But Nathan, because of your faith in Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. All right, next we have Isaac Durst.
Hi, my name is Isaac Durst. I've grown up being raised by Christian parents and attended church activities my entire life. Through faithful teaching of God's word, I learned that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I knew that I was a sinner and needed to confess my sins and ask God for forgiveness. I lived my childhood always apologizing to someone if I did them harm. I would also ask God for forgiveness, but I look back and I feel like I was kind of just saying this, and it became a routine. I'm not sure if I knew the true meaning of repentance. A couple of years ago, Pastor Dave gave a message on prayer. He explained in the message how to pray for repentance. This message helped me learn that every sin I commit is against God, not just against others. In 2019, I went to the Ascend Camp for the first time. I really enjoyed the fellowship, the lessons, and the songs. One night, Nate Phipps and I had a talk. He asked if I thought I was a Christian, and I said, I don't know. Then he asked me what the gospel was, and I told him. And Nate said, then what are you waiting for to be saved? Nate prayed and asked God to help me consider what we had talked about. Throughout the rest of camp, the Holy Spirit used Nate to remind me to keep thinking about my salvation. Following camp, I made the decision to give my life to the Lord. I believe that God sent his one and only Son, Jesus, to the earth. Jesus lived a sinless life and was crucified on the cross as my substitute as the atonement for my sins. He was buried but rose again, conquering death and sin. All who believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. According to Colossians 3, I have been raised with Christ. Though I may at times fail and still sin, I will work to seek the things that are above. With the help of the Holy Spirit, I will put off sin and work to put on the fruit of the Spirit. Because God's grace, I am forgiven and can live my life for his glory. Thank you.
Isaac, it's been a joy to see the fruit of that salvation, and it's been a joy to see you grow in the Lord. Based on your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Right. We got another Durst in the lineup. Caleb, come on up.
My name is Caleb Durst, and today I'm here to be baptized out of obedience to the Lord. In Matthew 28:19 through 20, Jesus tells his disciples to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. By the grace of God, I've come to know Christ in a saving way. Because of the gospel, I believe that I'm a sinner and that I deserve hell. I believe that without God, I would be bound to the lake of fire. Since God loves me so much, he provided a way out of my eternal torture. He sent his sinless son, Jesus, to die on the cross for all my sin. On the third day after Christ's death, he rose from the grave, conquering death and sin. Now that I believe in the finished work of Jesus, have repented of my sins, and believe that he rose from the grave, I will have eternal life in heaven. God promises this in Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I'm here to be baptized out of obedience to the Lord and as a public profession of my faith. I came to know Christ at a young age. By God's grace, he allowed me to be acquainted with the sacred writings, which were able to make me wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, as referenced in 2 Timothy 3:15. My parents obediently raised me and taught me to love the Lord. When I was a young child, I knew I needed Christ and accepted him as my Savior. I continued to attend church, read my Bible, and learn more about being a Christian. The first time my faith was tested was when I went to public school. I started letting non-Christian friends influence me, and I fell into temptation. At night, as I would think back over my day, the Holy Spirit would convict me of my sin. I'd just kind of say, "Lord, I'm sorry," and not really mean it. I was in blatant sin for a while until I realized that there was no sign of spiritual growth in my life and that I could not keep sinning like this. I repented and asked the Lord to enable me to overcome temptations. The Lord enabled me to do what was right, and our relationship started growing again. I am now seeking the things that are above and striving to live my life to please the Lord. Because of his grace and mercy, I'm excited to live the rest of my life for him.
Well, Caleb, if you keep that up, I'm going to be out of a job. So why don't you go ahead and plug your nose. Caleb, because of your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we got the final Durst. Come on, Audrey.
Okay. Well, I didn't write a sentence to introduce me at the beginning of my testimony, but I'm Audrey Durst. I've been very fortunate to have grown up in a family that has constantly taught me about the gospel and taught me the scriptures from a young age. I cannot give you an exact date and time when I put my faith in Jesus. Since a young age, I have known that I am a sinner who has fallen short of the glory of God, as stated in Romans 3:23. And that the punishment for my sinfulness should be eternal death in hell. As a little kid, I would have told you that, of course, I was a Christian. However, I did not fully understand the implications of what being a Christian meant. About the time I entered high school, it was apparent that although I thought I was a Christian, many of my actions showed that I was not, and I was caught up in a sinful life. 1 John 1, 5-6 says, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." I am extremely grateful for my parents, grandparents, faithful friends, youth group staff members, and older women in the church that God placed in my life to minister to me and encourage me during this time. Joyfully, I can say that God drew me out of the darkness into his glorious light, and I have been saved by grace through faith, as stated in Ephesians 2:8-9. However, as the rest of this passage states, this is not of my own doing, but it is the gift of God given to me, an undeserving sinner, paid for by Jesus' death on the cross. Psalm 139:5 has become one of my favorite verses and is a constant reminder of God's mercifulness towards me. It says, "You hem me in behind and before, you lay your hand upon me." Because of the wonderful gift of salvation that I have been given, I can echo Psalm 9, 1-2. "I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High." Thank you.
Well, we have certainly been blessed by you walking in those good works that God predestined you to walk in before the foundation of the world, the playing music and just your joy in the Lord in youth group. So it's been a joy to see that. Audrey, based on your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
All right, we have Brennan Haig.
Hello, my name is Brennan Haig, and this is my testimony. I've always gone to church, and for as long as I can remember, my parents have diligently taught me to believe in God, obey authority, and that sin is wrong. Because of that teaching, even as a young kid, I believed in the Bible and God. Although I did not understand my need for salvation or who God is, I have always had a general understanding that sin is bad. But before I was saved, my reasons for not sinning were that I wanted others to like me, and I wanted to please my parents. I used to believe that I was a good enough person to be saved and go to heaven. But slowly, as I learned more about God and salvation through faith and not works, I began to realize that I could not be saved by being a good person, because I could never be good enough. Especially after reading Ephesians 2:8-9, which says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." For me, there was not a specific moment where I knew that I was saved, but I finally understood that my good works would not save me, and that I needed the sacrifice of Christ's death on the cross and the grace of God to be saved. Now I am putting my faith in Christ's death on the cross for my salvation. After I was saved, another thing that changed was that I no longer just wanted to come to church to see my friends, but I also wanted to come to church to hear God's word being taught. As I trust daily in God, my Tourette's and the anxiety that comes with them has become more manageable by praying and living out 1 Peter 5:7, which says, "Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you." Since being saved and becoming a born-again believer, I want to be obedient to God and his commandments, not for personal gain, but because God calls believers to obey him for his glory.
Don't sit down. Well, Brennan, what a joy it is to see you make that profession of faith. I've known you since you were young, coming over, begging to play with my kids, but I've seen a lot of growth in you and transformation, and having you give this testimony is just testimony to that. So let's go ahead and baptize you. So Brennan, because of your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. All right. We have Katie Ott.
My name is Katie Yott. I have been attending church for as long as I can remember. I have attended many Sunday schools, Awanas, and youth groups. Through all of these, there has never been a time where I have not known who Jesus is. As a result, when I was younger, I considered myself a Christian because I knew what the Bible says about Jesus, and for the most part, I was a good kid. I mostly obeyed my parents and was respectful. I didn't act out or cause trouble at school. However, I was surrounded by sin. My life was one of jealousy, pride, and selfishness. It was all about me and no one else. I took all of the credit for the amazing gifts that the Lord had blessed me with and didn't give him any of the glory that he deserved. Yet I continued to feed myself the lie that I was saved. As I continued to attend church and church-related activities, I started to build some closer friendships with the people there. This made me more eager to attend. As I listened to various messages and sermons, particularly during my last year of Awana, I started to realize that my life didn't match that of a true Christian, that I was living for myself and not for the Lord. Each message pricked my heart and convicted me more and more. It got me thinking about how I knew the story of the gospel, but I hadn't ever put it into perspective. I hadn't ever really thought about the true sacrifice that Jesus had made on the cross for sinners. I hadn't ever understood the true crimes I had committed against the God of the universe by the sin that I was committing on a daily basis. I learned that even though I wasn't committing murder or rebelling against my parents' authority, the sins that I was committing, such as gossiping or thinking bad of others, were just as bad. That they were all sins punishable by death and hell, and this punishment was exactly what I deserved. I knew the only way out of this awful punishment was through Jesus and his work on the cross. However, even though after knowing all of these truths, I still didn't live a changed life. I continued to live in my sin because it was easy and what I wanted to do. I ignored the conviction of these messages until the next week, where I would ponder them for a moment and then save them for later. I didn't want to come to terms with my sin and let someone else rule my life, so I continually put it off. As I got older, I began to attend the church youth group. I loved it right away. I enjoyed all of the people and how close they were to each other. With an older group came more mature messages. It felt like every single sermon was aimed right at me. I remember feeling very convicted after each one. They always revealed some form of sin in my life that I had previously been completely blind to. I got pummeled over and over again with how truly sinful I was. After listening to each message, I longed to rid myself of this sin. The way to do this was the same for each message. The answer was to repent and turn away from my sins and put my faith in the saving work of Jesus Christ, the work he did on the cross. This again pricked my heart over and over again until I realized it was finally time to truly confront my sin and my need for a Savior. I knew I could no longer put it off because tomorrow is never guaranteed, and there was still a lot of change that needed to be made in my life. I turned to the Lord and I begged for forgiveness. I asked that he would give me a new heart because I knew my salvation wouldn't come through me but by his grace alone. I decided to make God the authority of my life and surrender to him. After this, my life truly began to change. I began to see the fruit of the Spirit in my life. I went to church to learn more about God and not just see my friends, and I started to repent of my sins. I began to live my life to glorify God and not to glorify myself. Through Jesus' work on the cross, I now have a new and transformed life, which is being demonstrated further through my baptism today.
Katie, based on your testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
All right, next we have Caden Ott. So I'll just go ahead and get ahead of the game here.
I'm told I will be the hardest to baptize. My name is Caden Ott. I was born here in Emporia, Kansas, and even though I don't think anybody in my family knew it at the time, I was a sinner before a holy God. Psalm 100, verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." Being my creator, God has every right over me, and as a kid, I can vaguely remember going to church in my dad's hometown of Lamont, Kansas, and it was a long drive, and I really didn't like to go. And then we ended up here, and even then, I can still remember sitting on the floor, listening to Dave, and just thinking, this doesn't really affect me. Ephesians 2, 1 and 2 says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." So I would just come to church and just try to make it through with little effort, and it just didn't really affect me. I thought about it, but it just didn't change my heart. And I thought hell was a place for bad people, so I just said, that's not me, I haven't killed anybody. But Matthew 5:22 says, "Everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment." And I can assure you that I was angry with Drew more than once. But Ephesians 2:4-5 say, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even while we were dead in our trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved through faith." Through his amazing grace, God sent his son to die on the cross for me while we were still enemies. Despite my natural hatred and rebellion against God, he still loved me. God caused my heart to be made alive with Christ through his sacrifice. Through Jesus' sacrifice, sinful people can be made to repent of their sins and believe in Christ. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is a gift of God." Now God continues to work in my life to make me more like his son. Through his grace, every day he continues to reveal himself to me in new ways. With God's help, many people around me continue to help me grow in knowledge and understanding of Christ. If Ephesians 1:7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace." 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whatever you drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Thank you.
Well, this is quite a milestone, as I remember about 13 years ago baptizing your parents. And then eventually Drew got baptized, obviously Katie got baptized, and you know, that just shows you God's grace working through a family and just literally converting an entire household. So it's great to finally see you complete the ought circle, right? Well, Aiden, in light of your Caden, in light of your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Plug your nose.
Kessler and I have spent some time together. We logged some hours in the scriptures together, and this will be the first baptism today from someone who was not born in the U.S. and the first testimony given in a language other than his native tongue. So
yeah, exactly.
It's a blessing.
So hello, everybody. My name is Kessler Kaviri. I was born in Iran. After a few months of living in the United States, I met Adeline Hartman, who I loved him as mom. And Adeline took me to the Flint Hills Bible Church. Something that seemed interesting to me was they prayed for everybody. In contrast to Muslims that hate most of the people in the world, I decided to go to the church with Adeline. There, I met Alvin for the first time. He accepted me into his church with open arms. The members of the church respected me, even asking me what my religious background is. This would never happen in Islam. In Islam, you are not permitted to enter the mosque or any place that they have if you are not a Muslim. And I felt so much love here. The people here showed me that Jesus means love and forgiveness. I decided to become a Christian, and I trusted Jesus Christ in my heart as my Lord and Savior. Once I started attending church and read the Bible, I saw that God was kind and loving. God was forgiving. God has sent his only Son to be placed on the cross to die for our sins. God was not a punishing God, but was a loving God. For this reason, I wanted to be baptized. I wanted my sins to be forgiven. He has demonstrated his love for us on the cross of Jesus. I wanted to be born again and to walk in his paths. A human being has to be free and be given a chance to pick the face for himself. And this has been my face. Jesus Christ has chosen me as his child. I will walk his paths. Thank you.
One of the things that was very impactful for me as Kessler and I were visiting was the overwhelming burden of a religion being chosen for you by a government, and his desire to choose his own faith. And as we began studying the scriptures, what began to come alive for Kessler was the realization that no one can choose Christ, but he chooses them. And that biblical Christianity is God choosing those whom he would set his affections on. And I began to see his love for Jesus just blossom. And it's been a joy to see that. So when we first started talking about baptism, Kessler, you remember you were a little apprehensive. And then I just began looking at the scriptures and showing that this is what Jesus commanded. And he says, if Jesus commanded it, let's do it. And then it was like, can I get baptized? Wait, when are we going to do that baptism? And so his love for the Lord and his desire to respond in obedience to his King, his Lord, his God, his Savior has been something that has just been incredibly, profoundly joyful for me to see. Kessler, based on your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son
and the Holy Spirit.
All right, we have Henry Geiger.
I live in a Christian home. I always used to be good to impress people, but I knew in my heart I was a sinful boy. And I just lived for myself the whole time. So for a while, I just kept living in my sin and trying to enjoy it, but sin is not always enjoyable. I wasn't on drugs or anything fancy like that, but I was still a sinner. And a sinner is just a straight sinner. Sinners just live for themselves and can't do anything for God or others. Isaiah 64:6 says, "All our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. All of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away." So one night when I was in fifth grade, our Awana leader, Carlin Under from Newton Bible, was talking and addressed how everyone has a sin problem. So that night, I worried about it all the way home and accepted Jesus into my life. I need him because I am a sinner. Since we are sinners, we can't please God because of our broken relationship with him. Unless we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we will get God's eternal wrath. You might ask how we can get a relationship with the Lord. We can't get it on our own, but the Lord sent his son Jesus. Jesus came to earth fully man and fully God. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, as of the one only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. He never sinned and was killed as the perfect sacrifice in my place so I could have a relationship with God." Hebrews 10:14 says, "For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified." When we have a relationship with God, we don't get eternal punishment, we get eternal life. When I received Christ, I also received the Holy Spirit to help guide my life. He convicts of sin so I can repent and stay right with God. Now I understand we are not doing good to make people impressed. We do it for God. Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared in advance so that we would walk in them."
Well, Henry, I mean, looking around and just seeing all your family here, it's quite a gift to have a legacy like that. But your legacy doesn't save you, and I think that came really clear, that everybody has to make their own commitment to follow Christ. And so we're thankful that you have decided to do so. So Henry, because of your profession of faith, I baptize you into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Next we have Harrison Geiger.
My name is Harrison Geiger. And I grew up in a Christian family, and I thought I was a good boy, but didn't pay much attention to what Jesus wanted me to do. But I guess God was working in my heart, because one night at family devotions, we talked about hell. And that's kind of what got me started on my way to Christianity. I realized I was a sinner and needed someone to take my sin away. Romans 3:23 says, "For all of sin falls short of the glory of God." And Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, Christ Jesus our Lord." Jesus is that person. He lived perfectly and without sin. He died the death that I should have died and rose again on the third day. It says in Romans 10:9, "If you confess your sin with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved." After becoming a Christian, I started to feel convicted of my sin. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." In my Christian walk, I feel like God taught me through the little things, but I never really listened. So God decided to teach me through a bigger thing. When I got hurt, he is teaching me humility and to depend on him. And I want to please Jesus, and that's why I'm getting baptized.
Well, I remember meeting you guys at Spiritual Emphasis Week at Berean, and that was a fun week, and it's just been neat to think back at those times and see your heart for the Lord and your desire to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. Harrison, based on your testimony and your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Alvin will socially distance so we don't have to wear masks, right? So that was pretty epic. So did any themes kind of stand out to you as we did all those baptisms?
Yeah, you know, I mean, one thing that just kind of stands out to me, I was thinking of Isaiah 6. And there's this scene where there is great turmoil in Isaiah's life. In fact, he draws attention to it in the opening lines in chapter 6 where he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, which, you know, yeah. I won't launch into a sermon, but like major life upheaval.
Yeah.
And then in light of that, he sees a vision. And I saw the Lord seated upon the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And he sees a vision of the seraphim with six wings, two, they're covering their eyes, two, they're covering their feet, and two, they're flying, and they're calling one to another, holy, 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 is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. In the light of this turmoil that he was living in, he was reminded that, number one, the Lord was high and holy, lifted up, he was seated upon the throne. His life wasn't upturned. Yeah. He was seated upon the throne, and the whole earth was full of his glory. And to see, you know, this work, that the kingdom is still advancing. King Jesus is still on his throne. The kingdom is advancing. He is drawing sinners out of his out of darkness into his glorious light, and we get to see the benefit of that. And remember that the whole earth is actually full of the glory of the Lord, not just gloom and doom.
Yeah,
it is full of the glory of the Lord.
Yeah, and I think one thing that kind of stands out is the Holy Spirit is real, and he is working. We preach on it. We talk about it. We talk about how the gospel changes lives. And I think Sundays like this remind us that, yeah, it does. And I think even the different stories that, you know, some of them were telling, obviously, you know, some had no Christian background and some did. And you really see the impact that the community has as well, you know, that it truly adorns the gospel. Yeah, you know, so there's often, you know, whether it's hearing it from an Awana leader, then hearing it from your teaching, my teaching, parents, and it's just this collective effort where I just think about how Paul says, you know, one sows and other waters, but God is the one who causes the growth and brings about the new birth. So I don't know, I was deeply encouraged by this. So, and we were going to have Baptism Bonanza, the sequel,
yes,
in 2 weeks. So we know some of you might have come from out of town to watch, but you're welcome to come again. Welcome to come again. So maybe, Alvin, you can just kind of pray for them and just their walks, and then we're going to have the praise team come up to lead us in one last song, then we'll be dismissed.
Okay. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, thank you in just the light of what we see all around us, the temptation for us to look out into the world and only see things that are not going well, as we listen to the narrative that the world is pushing, we are reminded once again that you still are on your throne. You are still ruling and reigning, and you are still advancing your kingdom through your gospel. It is not about cleverly devised words of men, but the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation, that is still, after 2 millennia, doing exactly what you have intended it to do, to break hearts, to draw sinners out of darkness into your glorious light. Thank you for doing that for these dear ones. We pray that as they have made their profession of faith and this outward depiction of the inward reality that you have brought in their heart, that they would now join in fellowship, in partnership with this local body of believers as they are standing ready to be ready with an answer for the hope that is in them, to be ready to be ambassadors for Christ. That is what this is all about. It is not about the individual, but it is about the glory of God and the goodness of God in Christ and our opportunity to advance the kingdom in our neighborhoods, in our homes, for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.